Listeners, if you are alive and well, you can catch Kunal in a play starting on the 15th of February in Mumbai.
Correct, 15th to the 18th, and then post that from the 22nd to the 25th, I think, that next weekend. So do come and watch.
And the play is called Constellations, but we should tell our listeners, you're not an astronaut in the play.
No, no, unfortunately, I'm not.
No. What is your profession in the play?
I'm a beekeeper.
Who isn't? Who isn't?
Yeah.
Who is not a keeper of bees?
Hey, this is a podcast. No, wait, it's a comedy podcast. Well, we tried to make it a comedy podcast. And it's not meant to offend anyone. So don't get offended, okay? And wait, there's something else. Oh, yeah, yeah. Listener discretion is advised.
Audiomatic presents Our Last Week.
Hi, Kunal.
Hi, Paul.
I've got a weird backache today.
A backache?
Yeah, yeah.
Is this age-related or...?
It could be just old age. Nowadays, you don't know, you know?
It could be from lying down.
It could just be from doing nothing. I haven't been doing anything.
From standing.
Yeah. I've done some basic living. And now comes some basic living also.
Yeah. The other day I was beating some eggs and I got a pain. A wrist pain.
Yeah. And you were out of it for like a week or 10 days, no?
Yeah. It just knocked me out. I was just like making an omelet. So you never know, you know, what it's going to lead to.
You don't know anymore. That's the problem.
Everything is a risk.
Everything is risky now. But the thing is that you can't also at 47, I'm 47, I can't also just sit at home and wait to die for 20, another 20 years or 30 years. Because then people are like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm waiting to die. It's like, but in 30 years you're waiting.
That's a long
wait. Why
don't
we make some plans? Yeah, yeah. So I think that, the next 20, 30 years you have to keep busy. Like anything cool that happens in people's lives, like let us say it doesn't have to be positive also. Say it's going to jail, for example. You know, that's also happened to most people. You know, like there aren't that many mastermind criminals that go to jail at 55, you know, 60. 40s are the decade where you should have done everything, you know.
It's the decade that moves, you know, it's the moving, like they say, that's the one that... it's like, you know, the third day of a test match, or this nowadays the second. But it's the day that, you know, things are kind of... So, like, if you have to go to jail, it should be around your 40s, late
40s. 40s only. You want to be a millionaire,
become a politician, billionaire. I guess 40s is the decade where, you know, it all kind of just, like, starts happening. But when stuff doesn't happen, when you're not in jail, not a billionaire...
Then you start thinking, should I be waiting to die? You know, and then you start wondering, and then you're like, it's a long wait.
It's a long one, yeah.
You know, then you're like, this is going to take a while. Because, you go the other way, which is the ambition way, you know, like you want to be Elon Musk, or you want to, you know, say, commit a crime, like, say, Modi, Nirav Modi. He was 47 when his scam came out. You want to be those things. Your body also starts telling you, are you sure? That's what your wrist omelet pain is coming from. Your body is also telling you, I'm not sure, you know, Kunal. I think it may be too late for you to do anything in life.
Omelets are not your thing.
I got up in Delhi a few days ago. I couldn't open my eyes. Like, I don't know what it was. Like, my eyes were shut. And then
in Delhi, I think someone must have been holding them down.
They were holding me down. They had taped my eyes. It was like a Shriram Raghavan film. They had taped my eyes shut. You know, and then I'm wondering why they're demanding money. What are these voices? So I think that's happened. But yeah, I couldn't open, but I couldn't start fully functioning, you know. I think in your 40s, a man should come in, any younger man, hopefully, come in and punch us in the face, you know? Ot, saleh!
Yeah.
Ot! Ot! And just immediately, I think, if there's a shock to the system, you know, like a punch, ot, saleh! And then we should be dragged by our neck and shown photos of 60-year-olds, you know, like Anil Kapoor. And told, isko dekh! Isko dekh! And then just thrown into the shower and told, brush your teeth, carry on with their day, you know? Like, you should...
Yeah.
Like, I know people get trainers. I don't know if you have a trainer.
I have a physical trainer. Yeah, I do have someone I'd mentioned before, yeah.
And correct. But this person comes to your house?
Comes to the house and we do a few exercises.
But I assume he's a mild gentleman who'd come, press the bell, right?
Yeah, normal, yeah.
I have a feeling after 40, especially if you're in performing professions like you and I are, there should be a bell that should be rung. And a partner or somebody should open the door. And that person should be allowed into the bedroom because you're sleeping late. And they should be allowed to bash you up.
Slap you.
Yeah. Wake you up, slap you, maybe punch you, bleed a little, throw you in the shower, make you brush your teeth. That's a proper trainer. He should begin your day. And then he should tell you, give me 50, give me 20, give me 30. And you should give him. You know, because...
Money.
I feel... Not that, and push-ups or whatever else. I think mostly...
Oh, push-ups also.
Push-ups also.
I thought he just comes and he steals some money from you also. Because that's also like a life kind of thing. He just like puts his hand in your wallet, just grabs some money out of it.
Give me 1,000.
He tears a few notes also, throws it at you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way and to wake up. You know, like, that your body will get used to it. You know, like, it'll get used to the shock to the system.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
I think we wake up gently, we have coffee, you know, look at all the calm ways in which we get into the day. Then the trainer comes, who is polite. You know, I feel like this is all working against you.
We need a more forceful kind of motivation.
Yeah, early in the morning, you know, early.
Like, I've always thought of, like, you know, yeah, like, if I had to run a race or I had to swim a race and all, I've always thought of... You know, a shark is chasing me or like, you know, there's some sort of wild dog that's after me. Then I can think that I can run faster. And that's what we need in our everyday lives. You know, we just need, but we need a real person to come in and just do that.
We need
for
a
us.
Human shark, because what happens is personal motivation, as we've realized, never works. You know, like I'm saying, like, what really drives us to the arts, right? Hunger, poverty. Just love of the arts is never enough, don't you think?
I don't think it was that for me. I think it was my inability to do most other things.
Yeah. But also imagine if your inability to do other things, just that realization. There are many people in life who feel after that also. They say, I'm not capable of doing anything. I do this, but I'm also not particularly motivated. You know, imagine if it was like, I can't do anything. This is all I can do. And... there's a guy who says, if you don't go to your acting shoot or whatever, I'm going to shoot you. If you don't do 4 auditions every day, I'll kill you. I'll murder you. Then imagine how much harder you'd work.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll break your legs.
Definitely.
Like, then you'll do 4-5 auditions. You would push your agent. You know, like, you would be...
You'll take meetings.
You take a lot more meetings. Someone
I want to go. I want to meet this director. I want to meet this person. I want to meet this producer. You'd be a lot more motivated to go out there and say, I'll cut your finger if you don't go for the meeting. I'll cut your finger off. Like, yeah, I'm going. Because my manager is also very nice. You know, we know we should
mellow.
We should really this thing. He should just be saying, I'll cut one toe of yours. I'll cut one toe of yours. In the morning, I'll come and I'll cut your
whoever
toe.
Whoever you want me to meet.
I'm going.
You're not doing enough Instagram, Kunal. Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
You're not doing enough Instagram, Kunal. And by evening, if I don't see 4 posts, I'll cut one of your balls off. Like, then see the speed at which you work.
Yeah. And I should already be missing one finger, you know, so that you know that it's real also.
It's true.
It's going to happen.
It's a real threat. It shouldn't come from anything. That finger should not be there, you know. So that's a proper threat.
That's a proper life coach.
It's a good life coach. I've always said, if you want a life coach, don't read a book. You know, like, there's famous life coaches like Naval Ravikant and all, people read their books. That's nonsense. You want a life coach, you should come with a threat. You know, like some threat of physical violence or the threat of some significant financial loss. You know, okay, Kunal, you don't have to give me 12 sit-ups and 14 push-ups. That'll cost you 43,000 rupees. You know, then that's... And suddenly you're like, I'll do the push-up. I'll do it. I think there's nothing better for human motivation than fear.
Fear.
Kunal, which reminds me, I went to my dentist. And I've rescheduled twice before with my dentist.
Okay.
And I saw him, he didn't say anything, he smiled, usual, whatever, sweet. But today was particularly painful. And I've realized that there are some professions where you don't want to be late, you don't want to be rude. And I think, do you think he was taking advantage of me through his work, like revenge? Like, acha, you're late, come, lie down, come. Just rinse once, You know, it started there, you know? So, that's what, do you think some professions like his, you can take revenge like this?
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, that's why people are very nice to their doctors, very nice to their dentists. That's why you have a line outside the dentist's office because no one wants to be, I'll be late for my dentist appointment. So everyone's like, I don't want to piss this guy off because he's going to be very close to very sensitive drill. Parts of my body.
With a drill.
You know?
Yeah.
With a drill. And that high pitched squeal also.
Oh, yeah, like that noise.
You know, you can, it's that painful sort of noise. So, why would you mess with, you know, dentists, doctors?
People who make food. I would not fuck with anybody
food,
in a restaurant, you know.
Or the person who cooks for you at home, you know, if you have a cook at home. Why would you like, you know, mess with that person?
Risky.
Or be rude or shout or... I mean, why would you either way? But I'm saying, like, in any case, like, these are very... This is high risk stuff.
High risk. I often wonder people who are mean to their drivers, you know, like at some point, like White Tiger, why doesn't the driver just ram the car into a tree, get out of the car, abuse the owner of the car and leave? You know, like, I'm saying he'll still get another job somewhere. There's a huge shortage of good drivers, but there is no shortage of rude car owners.
No, that there are plenty.
Yeah. So I feel like why doesn't more abuse happen? You know, like, like, a lot of people in hotels and restaurants will take a lot of shit from customers. Like, I don't want to hear anything. He's like, sir, my manager's coming. I don't want to meet your manager. You know, it's endless. Like, why doesn't
because there are two things, right? Like, one is that when the customer, the stakes are high for the customer. Like, here you're the customer and the dentist is there, right? So you're not going to be rude because, or you're the customer and you're at a restaurant, you're going to think twice before being rude to the chef, or, you know, because you know what you're going to be presented, or you don't know what's going to come on your plate. So every time you have a demand of something or you're the person, so then you're going to, but if you are the one in control, and there's nothing to lose, then it's a free-for-all, right? Then that's when people feel they have the sort of liberty to be ruder.
Yeah, exactly. Like, especially with my dentist, I mean, it's up to me when I show up, right? Like, I mean, his dentist chair is not free all the time, but he's kept it free for me. And I'm taking advantage of that.
Yeah.
And so at one point, he's sort of like, come, sit. And then as he was drilling, it was hurting. He knew it was hurting because he's a brilliant dentist. He knows. So he's like, hurting, no? A little bit hurting. No? So he knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
Another person I wouldn't fuck with is a lawyer, you know, because he's fighting your case.
Lawyers, CA. You wouldn't want to mess with your CA also.
CA, yeah. Suddenly like, I've done the accounts. You've done the accounts, so you owe them 4 lakhs this year.
Huh?
4 lakhs. Yeah, 4
lakhs. You'll have to pay it. You don't have a choice.
You don't have a choice here, sir. Not even installments. It's 4 lakhs, sir. Does this have something to do with me kicking you earlier and calling your wife dirty names? No, sir. Nothing. Not related. This is just from my analysis. Imagine you piss off your lawyer just before the hearing. And the lawyer is like... Yeah. He's like, your client is guilty. He's like, my client is guilty, my lord. He is guilty. And then what do you do? What do you do? You're like, I'm not guilty, my lord. Like, it's too late, no?
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of Supreme Court television.
Hmm.
It's very addictive, you know. It's my
Justice Chandrachud.
Chandrachud, and there are usually 7 or 8 different. It's an 8 or 9 judge bench that sits to hear the big matters. And there's a main lawyer arguing it, but he's surrounded by, like, he has very little place to stand because there are some 30 lawyers surrounding him. So he has very little place to put his documents and make the argument. You know, and this is the most senior lawyers of the Supreme Court. This is like Kapil Sibal and, you know, Rajiv Dhawan and like the Attorney General of India. And they have very little space. So if you look at the video, there's some 50, 60 people around them. Like literally like a train station on their shoulder. Because I think
but those are people who are providing like facts and figures, no? Like they're listening into what they're saying, and then they suddenly shove one paper there, then they'll say something in their ear. They'll say, you know, one fourth, yeah. not one third. Yeah. So then you say 1/4, my lord. You know, it'll be like then some other.
What
then
is that? 1971 writ petition. Writ petition. Gives him
pull like it out. It comes out, you know, and then it's like, So they're like,
It's
like a human
people.
Google behind them. It's like just like a huge, like a...
4-5 human
Google. Like constantly...
Human Google is a great concept. But you know, in lower courts, there's still a crowd behind the lawyer. But in lower courts, it's not to provide the lawyer help. In lower courts, it's to push the lawyer so they can hear their case. So if you see videos, YouTube videos of lower courts... is like, my lord, just 4 minutes I want, my lord, 4 minutes. But there's always one guy pushing the lawyer. Like, he's literally pushing him from his dais. He's like, case number 47, bail case, my lord, bail case, my lord. You know, like, so he's just pushing that guy. Does he just hear my case? Because...
And the thing is, there are two people pushing at the back. One is the person who is generally applying for bail, you know, and they'll be shouting in that lawyer's ear, saying something.
Bolo,
you
know, kuch saying, karo, yeah,
tomorrow. Aaj ka judgment. So that person will be like, let's just like... And then there'll be another lawyer who's waiting for their case at the back. So you can literally see the judicial system, like... just tearing at the seams. This is the pressure on the judge. It's just, but this is the full physicalization of it, because it's like just people just pushing against the thing, and the judge is there, and there's just lawyer after lawyer just waiting to be heard, and case after case. But it's literally that. It's just the Indian judicial system tearing at the seams.
Exploding.
And it's lovely to see.
And also, you see the other lawyers that want attention to hear their case. They shout nonsense that's not even related to the case. Like, their case could be a small theft case, right? It could be anything. It could be a tax case. It could be a very small case, right? They want to be heard. So they start shouting, murder, my lord, murder case, murder!
Yeah.
The judge,
it's like they're tempting the judge to pick up that case because this is too smaller case. I've got something much nicer and juicier for
Mass murder. Mass murder, my lord.
Sir, first degree either. Sir, is that first degree? Kya sun rahe aap? It's like that kind of stuff. You know?
It's like a fish market. You know, you're picking. Ki aapka first degree mein kya hai? Arey nahi sir, first degree nahi hai. Galat bol diya hai. Ye small tax case hai, sir. Small tax. And the judge has been tricked. Now he has to listen. He's been tricked. He has to listen now. It's tricky. Kunal.
Yes.
I have a tour guide conundrum. Tour guide.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Amir Fort in Jaipur.
Mm.
And there was the guide was with an Indian family. The guide didn't look very happy. He was unhappy.
Right.
And the family was unhappy with him. And the family kept saying, "Theek se dikhao. Theek se dikhao. Tum kuch nahi dikha raha hai. Theek se sab kuch batao." And the guide said, "Nahi. Main achha se sirf foreigners ko dikhata hu. I only show my full tour I do for foreigners." And then the family's like, "That's racist, you know." Basically, they said, you know, that's not fair. How do you know we don't want the full tour? So the father said, you know, "Aapko kaise malum ki mujhe pura tour nahi chahiye, mujhe sab kuch dekhna hai." And the guide said, "Aapka shakal dekh ke hi main samajh gaya. Aap pura history nahi samjhenge." So he did a face-based intellectual discrimination, saying by your face I could tell that you don't have the ability to understand the tour I'm going to give you. Just by your face. And I wanted your view on face-based discrimination, which I've encountered for the first time.
I think that they were the first sort of, like, you know, a lot of people, shopkeepers, tour guides, but mostly people in sales, they are fully into face recognition, you know, like, so I'm saying, like, this thing we give, like, your phone and all just recognizes your face. But these guys, not only do they recognize your face, but they see you within your soul, you know, who you are as a person.
This guy can't pay.
Like, are you serious, not serious, moneyed, not moneyed?
This guy has no ability to pay,
No ability to pay, you know, should I entertain this person, not entertain? How deep should I go here? How much time should I invest in this person? What are my returns going to be? There, like, a full calculation. And I don't think that any sort of AI and all is going to be able to do that.
No.
You know, because the AI will be able to say, okay, this is so-and-so person. Like, that's, I know all. This person, this is their Aadhaar card number, and this is the color of their eyes, and, you know, they were born on so-and-so date. But what is their niyat, so to speak? You know, the what core, is their...
Like, and also to look at their face and say, this man won't understand history. This man won't understand mythology.
Yeah, he's not into these kind of things. I can see it in his eye that he's looking only for this kind of stuff. He's more into the religious or the mythological angle. He just wants this to end so that he can go and play cards. He's a full alcoholic and, you know, his family has dragged him. Or he's just not going to pay me. All of this 100
rupees notes in his pocket. You
yeah,
know,
that, this is not even his own family. He's with someone else's family. This is the first time that... And all this is happening in very, like, in microseconds, you know. So I think that people in sales, tour guides, you know, that's why at some level all this AI and all is not going to be able to replace all of this, because you're not going to be able to see into a person's soul.
No way, no chance. But these people are some higher evolved level of reading Indian people, you know, like,
yeah.
And immediately they can look at their face and a switch comes on or goes off. You know, they're like, there is money here, there's no money here. You know, where I think the switch gets a bit tricky for these guys is if you have a very educated Indian family that gives him an advance and says, tell us the full history. You know, like, then his head goes crazy because he's like, these guys are tipping more than foreigners, but they're from India and they want the full history. So then he says, aap NRI hai, NRI. And then he said, no, hum log yahi se. We're from here. So that really, because what you've now done is you've destroyed his whole understanding of the country.
Yeah, and what you've done is that you've messed around with his AI, you know, his programming. Is that you've gone into the code and you've gone and you've thrown ketchup on it. You know, you've taken a big giant dump on everything that he knows. And that's what's disconcerting. He's like, forget the money. I don't want the money. I don't want your money. Like, don't do this to me, you know.
Just because don't ever do it.
Now you're spoiling everything I know, you know.
Yeah.
So just don't. Because then what happens is that then I all my judgment from this point onwards is now skewed. It's spoiled. You
it's
know?
Wrong.
And that's at some level, as a charity, you should not be doing that. You know, you should not, like, you should not be going and being messing with their mind.
Like, right,
stay within your this thing. Pay how much they had asked for, you know.
Yeah. If at the end of the
bargain a little bit.
Sorry, I think I paid you too much. Can you return 500? He'd be relieved. Because his settings will go back to factory settings. You know, like, he'll
go back to factory settings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd be honored. Kunal, I went to the Jaipur Lit Fest. So I went to listen to, because a very famous murder mystery writer had come down, Richard Osman, British TV presenter, murder mystery writer. And they, in the Q&A, they asked him, what would be a good setting for a murder? And he said, this Lit Fest. The moderator said, oh, someone might steal that idea. And Richard Osman said, if someone steals that idea, that means one of two things. Someone will, like, are you saying that they'll steal the idea and then do what? They'll have to kill me or somebody at the Lit Fest? Or are you saying they'll just steal the idea of the novel? And then the moderator said, if they imagine they steal the idea and make sure you die at this lit fest, do they have to pay you royalty because you came up with the idea? And I thought this is a very good conundrum, because he's come up with the idea of a murder at a lit fest. Someone in the audience thinks, so this is a very good idea, murder at a lit fest, I might write about it. So either he writes, somebody else goes off and writes a murder mystery at a lit fest, which is harmless, but based on Richard Osman's idea. So do they have to pay him copyright? Or someone goes even further, takes the idea and murders Richard Osman at a lit fest.
Yeah, I think that, you know, if someone were to just take that idea and go away and write a book, it could get into a copyright kind of situation. Although I don't know whether you can copyright just something that you've said, like you just in a conversation or in an interview.
We say lots of things on this podcast.
We say lots of things. I don't know. Maybe you can't. But they're whatever. They're just ideas floating around. But I think, like, if the person who wanted to write it ended up murdering this gentleman and then wrote a book, I mean, got away with the murder, I'm assuming that you get away with the murder, or you write it from jail or whatever. But then you don't need to pay copyright, because then you're just writing a true story.
Yeah, then the murder happened. Because you're just writing it. Unless you took Richard Osman's idea and then murdered him just so you could write the book.
That's what. You murdered him and then you wrote a true story about the murder of Richard Osman. You know, so...
Yeah.
So then you're just writing a factual thing.
But you don't have to pay him or his estate copyright, right?
No, because you're writing about a historical event.
Because they'll turn around and say, whether you go to jail for murder or not, that we'll see. That's a separate issue. But you have to pay us copyright because...
Yeah, but he's dead and now I'm just writing a book about factual stuff that happened.
Yeah, but they're like, but you killed him. And you killed him only because he...
I'm in jail. I mean, I'm in jail for killing him, but that can't stop me from writing the book.
That's a separate thing. The jail, you live wherever you want. Jail is your place because you did the murder. Fine, but...
It's like stopping someone from writing about the Second World War. I mean, how can someone say, like if Hitler said, I have copyright over the Second World War, or if, like, you know, or if people who died, Russians, Jews, Hitler, they said, we have copyright over this. I'm like, well, how can you have copyright over it? It's a thing that happened, right?
But Hitler, like, 100% could say, if I had not invaded Poland, none of these stories would have happened.
He should have copyright on all World War II movies then, by that logic.
He's like, see, without me, where would you be? None of you would be anywhere.
Yeah.
If I had not invaded Poland, where the hell would you be, you fools?
Yeah. So he please give me my residuals.
Of everything. A world at war, of all. Everything.
The Schindler's this was all list. My idea.
This is my idea.
Yeah.
You know, without me, you guys would be nowhere, you fools.
Yeah.
Final conundrum, Kunal. It's quite a sad conundrum. Yeah. I don't know if it's sad. I've realized when you get to 47, you realize there's only so much time there is in life, right? Maybe another 20 years before you go blind or die or whatever. So I don't know. I feel every choice that one makes in life now is critical. Like if I pick tandoori over Mexican, I think, shoot, what if I never eat Mexican again? Like I'm supposed to have dinner with you at some point in time over the next few days. And earlier I'd be like, oh, you know, if it doesn't work out, it's fine. I'll go and have dinner with Kunal whenever. But now I think, what if I never have dinner with Kunal again? What if I'm dead? Do you think this is a good way to think?
Well, I don't think you can extend it into everything. Like, you know, like every decision and every choice can't be, this is the last time or it's life and death. It's going to be difficult to live that way. But yeah, there are things that you do say that, you know, when will I get the chance? Like, when will I ever get the chance to do this or be a part of or meet so-and-so or read this book? If I don't do it now, I'll never do it. And those thoughts do happen more and more, because I think that ever since we're kids, there are just full professions that we eliminate every year, every month of our lives, right? Like, if you're not playing cricket by the age of 10 in this day and age, you can't be a cricketer, You know, it's very difficult to break into any. Or if you're not swimming and like practicing hard by the age of 8, you can't make it to the Olympics. Whereas me, when I was 8 and 10, I still thought, huh, now I'll be a part of the Olympics very soon. You know, I'm thinking, should I be doing diving or should I be doing, you know, or should I do the short putt or what should I? That was how I was thinking that, you know, when you see all these things, you think all these professions are your options, all these things are your options. But every year, every month, every week, it just starts getting narrower and narrower. And I think that's what we're feeling right now, right? Like it's gotten so narrow that it's
You had a theory much earlier, which is it was too late from the moment you're born, which is your theory, right?
Like that's true.
Like from the moment you're born, it's over. That's what you were saying. So
it's over in the sense that you're already put into a bracket, right? Once from the moment you're born within a certain section of society. Those are your options. That's it, right? Like you're going to exist within that sort of, I mean, unless you really break out or whatever, like, you know, like really something weird happened. But otherwise, by and large, you're just going to exist within that section, right? There's no... nothing but crazy but the, in that sense.
No, but you're saying that basically by the age of 15, you're too old to be a gymnast. By the age of 9,
too old.
You're too old to play cricket. So I shouldn't start eliminating things at 47. I should have started eliminating things at the age of 9.
9. That's the age when you start thinking, shit, I've missed my chance. Like, and every year you say, shit, I've missed my... Oh, shit, like when I'm 15, I'm like, shit, I can't be a doctor. Oh, shit, I can't be an astronaut. Oh, shit, I can't be a deep sea diver. I mean, like, all these things, every day, every month, those eliminations happen. And now we've come to a point where it's shit. Should it be Mexican or should it be tandoori? So that's how narrow it's gotten
now. Or I'll die. Yeah. Or it's either that or I'll die. Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Yeah.
And which is why, my final point, do you think that's what leads people to do insane things in their 40s? Like,
that is exactly that. Marathon, that is the midlife crisis. Attack. Yeah, that is it. Start get a heart attack, pot. Die, buy a bike, you know, do all sorts of things.
Saying, hey, why has your husband gone to Greenland for 6 weeks? Like, hey, it's fine. He's fine.
He always wanted to do it. But then he died. Then why did he die there? He didn't. Yeah, he wanted to do it.
He just wanted to die there. He just fell into a hot spring when he shouldn't have, and he's dead. Yeah. It's tricky. It's tricky.
It's tough.
Well, to our listeners that are alive, thank you for listening. And unlike every other thing in life, time is passing. We will die, but there will be other podcasts for you to listen to. We're not dying right away. So if you want to listen to podcasts while we're still alive, we're at ourlastweek@audiomatic.in, or you can subscribe to us to patreon.com/ourlastweek. And if you are a Patreon subscriber, it's very kind of you to be a Patreon subscriber. We will hopefully send you explicit photos of Kunal at some point. Is that part of our thing?
I think that is. No one has requested.
No one
we
has
had offered, but I think no one has
No one stepped up. No one stepped up. So yeah. If you want to step up, we will be. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, people sent more money saying don't send it.
don't. They became the gold level subscriber. You know, so like we were saying, fear is a very good thing for the arts.
Fear.
You know?
Pay or you shall receive.
Yeah. I take all my money. Do not send me photos of Kunal naked. Don't. So you can talk to us and we will hopefully next week, Kunal, see each other live.
Yes, hopefully.
Yeah. And listeners, if you are alive and well, you can catch Kunal in a play starting on the 15th of February in Mumbai.
Correct, 15th to the 18th, and then post that from the 22nd to the 25th, I think, that next weekend. So do come and watch. And live Pal, you're going stage. To be on tour soon.
I'm going to be on tour. We'll talk about that at some point. The play is called Constellations, but we should tell our listeners you're not an astronaut in the play.
No. Unfortunately, I'm not.
No. What is your profession in the play?
I'm a beekeeper.
Who isn't? Who isn't?
Yeah.
Who is not a keeper of peace? Well, on that note, bye.
Bye.
You were listening to Our Last Week, produced by Akanksha Kadam and Avdhoot Khanolkar, hosted by Anubhav Pal and Kunal Roy Kapoor.